This is a Storage Switzerland podcast.
What a busy week for Storage Switzerland this week. We had guys all over North America, one in Canada, one on the West Coast, and we'll talk about it now with Eric Slack. He's a senior analyst at Storage Switzerland. George Crump, our lead analyst and founder. Let's start off with Eric in the Valley to talk to Micron and IBM. Eric, how did that go?
Went really well, Charlie. Micron started off in the morning with an analyst event, you know, where they fly a bunch of analysts in and kind of have a captive audience to. They really were talking about their storage systems business. They're staffing up the company. They've hired several Dell people. One, the VP of systems business, name of Darren Thomas. Was talking about some of the things that they're doing, making big investments actually in the systems business, so that not really so that they can sort of integrate and really get into selling systems, but in their words, that they really need to learn, you know, how flash is used and how their products are getting integrated into at the systems level in order to sort of spur their own innovation. It really kind of a it's a topic that we talked about actually after. Talking to HGST, you know, the disk drive manufacturers last summer, where they're doing some of the same thing, and so is Seagate, where they're really trying to get to the systems level, get outside of just the box, sort of being defined by, you know, by the storage media itself. That there's more opportunity to innovate, especially in flash products, when you're talking about the design of the controller and some of the other technologies that again that are sort of outside of the NAND flash itself. It was a good session and actually IBM kind of dovetailed with that because they are one of the partners that Micron is working with their they just announced the new flash system V9000 which is a an all flash array. Kind of the highlight of that announcement for me was listening to a guy by the name of Andy Walls, who was an IBM fellow. It was really interesting hearing him talking about some of the things that they're doing with what they call their flash core technology. A lot of this came from the acquisition of the Texas Memory Systems group in Houston. And one of the things he was talking about was enhancing flash endurance without sacrificing performance or latency. And he said what they do is they grade flash blocks, and they put the hottest data on what they have determined are the healthiest cells. Instead of assuming that all that the endurance levels of all the cells are the same, they determine which ones are the strongest, and they use those the most. And it, what he said is, it ends up giving them 57% better overall endurance. Again, just kind of one small piece of that, but interesting stuff. And this guy was quite an animated presenter. So anyway, that was the IBM piece, and it was actually a very satisfying day.
So you can read more about this by going to storageswiss.com and reading your blog on the Micron event with Micron Invest Big to Flash Drive Innovation Outside the Box.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, George, in Toronto, Ontario, you went where it's warm.
Yeah. Well, but first I want to talk about this whole fellow thing. I think we need a Storage Switzerland fellow. You know, because we have lead analysts, we have senior analysts, we don't have any fellows.
We don't.
It sounds like it's a guy you want to hang out with and have a couple of beers, though. He's my fellow. You know. Anyways, so Charlie, I'm sorry, Charlie. What was the question? Something about Toronto
and cold. Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh man. We had our backup 2.0 road tour that we do with Tech Target and Storage Decisions. More cities this year. More continents. We're going to hit London and Paris this year. So Toronto was our first site. I'm not real sure why we did Toronto in February. I think I distinctly asked to stay below the Mason-Dixon line until June, but apparently that didn't work. And what's different this year, you know, we've talked about it before, but we're talking a lot about using snapshots as a key ingredient in the overall data protection process and how to make that work, make it affordable, make it safe. We're also talking about using backup to really be a key component in the overall RPO and RTO process. So what that means is instead of transferring data from the backup appliance, let's run applications from the backup appliance. Well, that's a shift, and we talk about how things have to change to get there. And then we had a really good session on the cloud. Obviously, we talked about cloud data protection. We talked about file sync and share. We talked about how to really get started with the cloud from a compute perspective. So we left data protection a little bit and talked about how data centers could start using that in that way as well. So really good session, great feedback from the audience. It was really well attended. I guess the Canadians aren't as afraid of cold weather as I would be, because there's no way I'd be walking around in 10-degree weather. But overall went really well. Next up is Philadelphia on March 24th. So hopefully we'll be in the city of brotherly love, and we'll get to see some of our folks out there.
Now, when you got some of the feedback from the people there, what were some of the things they were really concerned about?
You know, what happens, I think, most of the time in these things, obviously we're dealing with IT professionals, right? And so it's not like we're coming out with this magic thing that nobody's ever heard of before, but it's more just a different way of looking at it, a different way to apply it, and really step-by-step design work. And so that was what was really important. You know, some of the comments, where one guy said, look, this is the best 3 hours I spent in a year. And so, you know, it was really good, positive feedback. Another guy said, you know, it was really nice not to have to sit through 3 hours worth of vendor presentations to kind of sort through it. I mean, the vendors who kind of sponsor the event, they have little 10-minute segments, but 3 hours of it is us, right? And so it's all education, nonstop. And what's different this year versus last year is we really get into some design nitty-gritty that people seem to enjoy.
Let's get into some of the briefing notes that are on StorageSwiss.com. Eric, you wrote one on Hitachi upgrading HCP Anywhere and adds a new object storage node. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, HCP Anywhere is Hitachi's enterprise file sync and share solution. And I mean, you know, these are the solutions that companies are implementing to sort of combat what we call shadow IT, which is, you know, the sort of the Dropbox usage and cloud usage that employees are embarking on of their own accord, because they need to be able to share files with mobile devices and that kind of thing. And so companies have found out that the way to address that issue is to roll out the a file sync and share solution at the enterprise level. And HCP Anywhere is, again, like I said, Hitachi's product. They're actually using it internally with their 5,500 Hitachi employees, and what they're emphasizing with this solution is that it runs on the flexibility is pretty good, that it runs on local infrastructure. You can run it on a NAS, or of course Hitachi would like you to run it on their gear, but it also runs on the cloud. You can actually host the data in the cloud in a public cloud or a private cloud as well. So they're really trying to emphasize the flexibility of this access, or excuse me, the HCP Anywhere product. The other thing that they've done along those same lines is they've released a new object storage node. They call it S10. It's a 4U disk tray with 60 disk drives in it. And what it does is it gives you a scale out object storage platform, so that you can do things like host your own enterprise file sync and share solution. Obviously, using the HCP Anywhere solution is what their objective is. But this is a new platform that you can use for your own data center portion of storage for enterprise sync and share solution.
George, you talked a little bit about file sync and share backup 2.0 roadshow, right? So this is stuff you get into every time you go to one of these Tech Target events.
Yeah, I think it's very timely. I think what we're getting constantly is, how do I get rid of the Dropbox problem? People are now realizing that, and it's not just we pick on Dropbox because I think it's the name that everybody knows, but consumer-driven, Eric used the word shadow IT, consumer-driven replacement of IT is very dangerous, not necessarily from a job perspective or a career perspective for IT people, but really just from that there's data. Like if you have a person using Dropbox, you fire that person or they leave for whatever reason, corporate data just went with them. You know,
yep.
With a Dropbox type of solution, if, you know, we work for Brocade and we started sharing stuff with Cisco, I think you'd want to know that that's happening, right? And so you'd want to know that your competitors are sharing information. I think the key is, I think that the Anywhere solution's sort of a good example of heading in the right direction. And Charlie, you and I talked about this last week, is the file sync and share solutions, I think the number one priority has to be to meet or beat the Dropbox user experience, right? The number one challenge we see still today is that they're just not quite as good. I think that Anywhere gets you really close. I think we're going to talk about a couple others that are getting close. But that's the number one thing. Then you want to put the controls in. And the big thing that I've been really lecturing at these sessions, and we talked about again last week, was once you go through all the hard work of doing this, you got to find a tool that allows you to enforce it. You don't want to go through all this work, roll this out across 5,500 employees, and have one instance of Dropbox running. You want to know it's happening so you can shut it down. And so the monitoring and making sure that that doesn't happen, I think, becomes as important as getting the solution up and running.
Eric, you wrote a briefing note on Cetera's cloud data services platform. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, actually, it kind of fits with the file sync and share discussion. Cetera has, you know, historically started out as a hybrid cloud backup solution mostly, and you know they make an appliance that goes on site and provides local backup, and then we'll actually transfer that data to their cloud. They've really taken that concept and expanded a lot on it. Now they're really using that on-site appliance to really provide a services platform that again will certainly include backup, but they've got a file sync and share solution that fits on that. It can also provide DR. And so where they're really going to market with this is, again, they're calling it a cloud data services platform, and it allows SMBs, you know, small companies or a remote office branch office locations with a one box that basically takes care of all their IT services. And then on the back end, it connects to the cloud, so it does a really good job of consolidating all the control of those offices at a headquarters. And in fact, the Cetera folks mentioned a couple of really large accounts that they've got that have thousands of these offices. So it's really quite a success story, again, from something that 4 or 5 years ago was a hybrid backup solution.
Let's jump to a new product that we've all been working with over the last 2 weeks from Connected Data. It is cloud management that is yours. It's a new transporter program that syncs files across a network up to, George, what, 32? They have the transporter 15 and the transporter 30, and you get, up to 12, even greater terabytes access to just cloud storage. George, you've been working with it the most, up to like 12 terabytes worth of storage in the cloud. Why don't you kick things off and we can all talk about the program?
Yeah, sure. So I think the first thing is it's not in the cloud, right? Is that storage that we're now using is in our data center in Fort Worth. And unless we choose to, that data actually never resides in the cloud, which means it can't be indexed for advertising. It can't be searched. Nothing like that can happen to it because it's on our system. Now, obviously, there's some things we have to do, like we got to protect it and all those sort of things now kind of come into play. But it gets us out of the public entity for using it for file sync and share. As we probably talked about in the past, we're a very dispersed group of individuals all working from different regions of the country, but we need to be able to collaborate quickly on documents. And that's probably our biggest thing and one of our kind of roadblocks really to moving to these type of solutions was the speed of the workflow when you do what we do becomes, as you guys obviously know, becomes very important. We could have a document created, edited 3 or 4 times and posted all by different people all in the same day.
Right.
If it's a hot thing and even a video, We've had times where we've shot it, produced it, processed it. I'm gonna mess up all the cool words that you guys use, Charlie. But get it all done, pass it around, get it reviewed, get it approved, get it sent, get it posted. So the value of doing that locally is huge to us. As you know, especially with video content and audio content, using some of the public services got to be expensive. This allows us to, we have a version of the solution that has 12 terabytes, so should hold us for a while, and then allows us to share that data both internally as well as externally when we need to.
Now, for you, it's this device is right in the company office, so it's really not in the cloud, but for Eric, who is in another location, and for me, who is in another location, to us, it is sort of like a cloud deal because we're having to move this. It's moving over the internet, which a lot of people say is a cloud, you know, same thing as the cloud. So for us, we get a little different experience with it. Eric, what do you think of this product?
Well, you know, it's interesting because George's earlier comment that you have to meet the Dropbox experience. I mean, this is exactly like Dropbox because we've used Dropbox in the past. There's a transporter folder on your computer, and you put files in there, and you take you copy files out and do things with them. But that becomes, I mean, it's exactly the same operation as Dropbox on the user side. So that I think it meets that litmus test that George mentioned.
And one thing about it is you have two types of folders. You have one set of folders that will actually sync your computer with what is on the unit at George's office. And then there is another folder to where you have access to what is in George's office, but it doesn't come down onto your computer, which means that if it's not something you need to have locally, you have access to it and can look at it and everything, but you don't have to download it and take up space. So it really saves a lot of storage on the local laptop.
Yeah, and I think that, so the only point I would disagree with you with, Charlie, is that I'm not always in the office like right now because we're having a snow emergency in Texas with 3 inches of snow. Mm-hmm. I'm working from my home office. Last night, Eric and I were working on a couple of files. He was probably in his home office in Colorado. I was on a plane at 30,000 feet, you know. And so what was really good about that is while it took a little while to sync because we all know what plane Wi-Fi is like, I always try to keep in mind that I'm connected to the internet in a chair at 30,000 feet, right? So, you know, it sunk up well. And Eric and I were able to collaborate while I was in motion, so to speak. I was able to collaborate while I was in Toronto. So it did fulfill exactly what we wanted to do.
And then you're back into the same type of user experience of not being in the office, but then being like us away from. So you get that more of that Dropbox experience when you're on the road than you would get at home.
Exactly. What I really like about it is, so I use the same laptop home and at the office, or when I'm on the road. When I get to the office, it's smart enough to know that it has a local connection to the transporter, so I don't route through the cloud and come back down. So everybody that's in our office in Fort Worth has essentially LAN speed access to it, and then when we leave, it automatically figures out it can't get that way and starts going through the cloud. So the where it uses the cloud to kind of clarify our previous point, the cloud becomes the connection, so to speak, right? But the data at rest is in our office in Fort Worth, right? And so that way, fully protected. I also want to highlight what you mentioned. To me, that library folder is huge, especially in our business, because you, sir, are the biggest creator of data in the whole company, at least in terms of capacity.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And obviously we need that, right? Because people love our podcast, people love our videos, but that has to, we don't want all that on our devices all the time, but we always want to keep it. So this gives us the best of both worlds.
Let's throw in one other thing here is the mobile app that we have. Have any of you guys used the mobile app? Have you all seen how that works? Because my interface with it's been great.
The iPhone app?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've used the Pad app, and it was a snap.
So overall thoughts, George and Eric, I want to hear what you all both have to think about this product.
Well, I don't think that we could ever, because of who we are, I don't think we could ever really standardize on one product. But this is really a good for a company of our size, and we probably have a larger set of data than a company of our size. So probably a company bigger than us. This is a really good solution. By the way, they also have another line. I think they're going to relabel it, but it's right now it's called the Genesis line, and I think that one goes up to 100 terabytes. So pretty big capacity. It certainly is something that I would take a hard look at. The software is there. The interface, to Eric's point, it's just like Dropbox. From a management perspective, we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about that. I can see who's sharing what, so it meets that requirement. It's like I can see when you share to somebody outside of the company or even inside the company who's sharing what folder. So I think it's so far very positive.
Eric?
Yep. No, I agree. I'm using it when I'm sitting on the couch, you know, at home. I need to one of my frustrations with pads and tablets is that they don't, you know, we use Apple products, but they don't have a finder, right? So you need to have some way, to transfer data, and the transporter app just came up and looked just like it on my computer. So it was really easy to use. So it works really well.
We had some connectivity problems, but those got ironed out rather quickly, right, George?
Yeah, and I think that at least what we've seen so far is the two that we had. Eric, I don't think, had any problem.
Mine was snapped.
And then one of our web person had a bad router. And then Charlie, you had a couple of issues potentially with firewall and switches. So stuff that you would have to just wringle out. I will say that I think that because of the way we use the library folder, we're probably more demanding on the internet connection. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think it's worked out pretty well.
Well, guys, that does it for this week's podcast. I'm Charlie Hodges, along with Eric Slack and George Crump. Thanks for joining us on the Storage Podcast.
For more, go to StorageSwiss.com.